Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. We had some questions about a new Department of Justice report detailing the FBI's response to tips about former Dr. Larry Nassar. His sexual abuse of U.S. Olympic team gymnasts and others have led to devastating revelations about sports, Michigan institutions, and the value of girls and their truths. There were many bodies who turned blind eyes to Larry Nassar's crimes over the years. And yet, this Investigator General's report has turned up new and notable information. Michigan Radio's Lindsay Smith joins us now. She co-hosted the Peabody Award-winning podcast Believed about how the women involved won Larry Nassar's conviction. Lindsay, hi.
Hey.
There have been several stories about this report on FBI procedures and Larry Nassar that have had headlines like Indianapolis field office failed to respond with urgency. I felt like I knew that after listening to the podcast that you worked on. Is there anything here in this IG report that we didn't know before?
Well, it certainly is a confirmation in an in-depth way of things that national media had certainly reported on and local media in Indianapolis had certainly reported on. In the podcast, we don't really focus on the FBI in particular. And so a lot of this is just extremely jaw-dropping in some ways, very astonishing to me in the series of mistakes that the report outlines the FBI made.
How did the FBI first get involved with Larry Nassar? There was an initial meeting in summer of 2015 with USA Gymnastics. What was that meeting about?
Yeah, so USA Gymnastics had gotten reports from three gymnasts about potential abuse from former Dr. Nassar. And they did their own internal investigation over a few-week period. And then they came to the FBI in Indianapolis, which is where USA Gymnastics is based. And that's why they went there. They brought their report. They brought all of the receipts and the PowerPoints that Nassar provided them. And they kind of laid it out on the table and said, you know, here's what we have. What should we do about this? So they really initiated that contact with the FBI.
And then the Inspector General's report details that sort of went nowhere. Ultimately, the Los Angeles field office also had this brought to their attention. And the LA office took, quoting here, numerous investigative steps, but somehow wasn't in communication with FBI colleagues in Lansing?
Or colleagues in Indianapolis as well. I mean, this is another case where USA Gymnastics reached out to the FBI in the LA office and said, hey, we have reports of potential abuse with gymnasts who had lived in that area. And, you know, I think they at that point were kind of frustrated with the lagging updates from the Indianapolis office. They had given them all of this material. The Indianapolis office told USA Gymnastics officials, great, thanks. They were going to forward it to Michigan because they felt like they didn't have the venue. And so that's what USAG thought was happening. In reality, that report went nowhere. They interviewed one gymnast over the phone for 45 minutes. Made inaccurate conclusions, never filed this report. It never got sent to Detroit or to Lansing for that matter. So by the time the LA office of the FBI gets USA Gymnastics' new material, it's still, even though the LA office interviews more than a dozen people, definitely takes the investigation more seriously, they still have issues or concerns about venue. And they say, We're kind of working on this, but there's no attempts to contact local law enforcement in Texas at the Caroli Ranch, a USA gymnastic camp, right, for gymnasts. They also don't reach out to anyone at MSU where Nassar is working in Michigan or at the gym or local law enforcement here in Michigan. So that's sort of the most, in terms of the effects, egregious missteps, in my opinion, because it meant that no one is aware locally in Texas, in Michigan, anywhere else that he has access to kids, that these reports are being investigated by the FBI.
I actually gasped when I read in the report that the special agent in charge of the Indianapolis office, Jay Abbott, was talking to USA Gymnastics about job opportunities with the U.S. Olympic Committee during the timeline that all this is going on, and then lied to the IG about having done so. Was that news to you?
Yes, that was news to me, too. I can't imagine the sort of networking boys club, I guess I can call it that, that you must operate in at that level to think that that is not even going to raise flags. I mean, as a journalist, I really have to watch what I do and who I kind of associate with and how you deal with these things. And I'm not investigating people criminally, right? So, yeah, certainly that is that was pretty jaw-dropping, too.
Lindsay, what was going on in Larry Nassar's practice at the TwiStars gym, at other places that Larry Nassar was working while the FBI was inactive?
Well, he was abusing women and girls at TwiStars. He was practicing at Michigan State University. He was working at Holt High School. So, like I said, what it feels like the negligence in not raising red flags, not mandatory reporting these allegations of abuse. And it's not just one allegation. I mean, at one point, the LA office had six individuals that had definitely reported abuse going on in Texas. And they did not alert any Texas authorities. I mean, it's the access that he continued to have that is, it's really hard to imagine that nobody thought, like, we should let them know. We should let somebody in Michigan know.
Do we know if the Department of Justice is going to act on these and maybe go after some of the FBI agents who failed to act?
It doesn't appear like from this report that is going to happen. No, it doesn't. Now, it says that there were no federal or state mandatory reporting or lying under oath was another potential issue. And it said that they had concluded that it was not going to be something that they were going to charge.
One thread that seems to run through the Larry Nassar investigation and some other sex abuse cases is people coming forward and reporting what law enforcement needs to know. And sometimes authorities don't act or feel that they don't have enough to act on. What does this mean for the survivors or for the people who come forward on survivors' behalf?
It is such a chilling effect. If you feel, I mean, it already takes people a lot of emotion and a lot of courage to even report people because they feel like they're not going to be believed. They feel like they're going to be doubted. They feel like they're going to maybe ruin somebody's life. And to actually get to the point where you have not only one person but multiple people reporting someone, and it's just a matter of, you know, not following up, not even talking to the women who are willing to talk to FBI investigators. That first Indianapolis office didn't even contact them to interview them. I mean, at least in the case in Meridian Township in 2004 that they messed up, and in 2014 at MSU, the original case there that they messed up, you know, they at least brought Larry Nassar in to talk to him. And the FBI didn't even do that. It's astonishing, and it creates such a chilling effect for people who have terrible things happen to them, and they have to deal with these things in such a complex emotional way. But then the ball gets dropped. It just makes it feel like, why should I even bother reporting?
Having been immersed in these stories the way that you have for the time that you have, do you think that investigations of these kinds of crimes are conducted differently today?
I mean, I would love to think that certainly, I mean, I think the general public learned a lot from this case. I'd like to think. I certainly did. I really hope that that is the case. I know of certain agencies and districts that have made changes. The FBI claims in this report that they are making changes. But man, if I was a survivor, I would feel like really frustrated. And I don't even know if that's a good word for it.
Michigan Radio's Lindsay Smith. She co-hosted the podcast Believed, which tells the stories of the women who made Larry Nassar's conviction happen and how they were ultimately believed. If you've never heard it, it's comprehensive and incredibly poignant. Lindsay, thank you so much.
Thanks, April.